Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, recording on Saturday at 1:45 p.m. on the 23rd of June. That's a little later than I said it would be. Now, just briefest explanation. I spent most of yesterday in an eye hospital yesterday, and typing was rather difficult, so I had an abbreviated comment of the day. And I wanted to do a click-through of markets, and I also wanted to see how Wall Street closed, so I pushed the audio broadcast through to Saturday. I hope you don't mind too much. And that schedule change, which is not going to be a habit. But now, let's have a good look at the week first and a little bit of a review, and then go on to the big picture long-term outlook themes. In terms of stock markets, Asia remains pretty firm overall. The North Asian markets have done really quite well recently. And they're the steadiest of all, although China took a little bit of a hit yesterday. I beg your pardon. I know it was yesterday, on some supply increases. So there's a lot of LPO activity coming into China right now, and that's something that's been holding India up recently as well. European markets, well, the developed country European markets that have heavy bank weighting, such as Switzerland and Ireland, are certainly underperforming in here. And unlike the Asian banks, which are generally doing reasonably well, Japan the main exception, although their banks have firmed, importantly, whereas bank prices, bank indices are deteriorating in Europe and North America, and that's potentially important. Now, European developed country indices, again, as I say, some of them are still reasonably steady within their upward trends. They'll face a test probably on Monday, at least on the opening, due to Wall Street's decline. And Wall Street was hit hard, closing near the lows of the day yesterday. And again, as I mentioned, banks are weak in the U.S. Utilities are weak in the U.S. And those are two leading indicators. So a bit of pressure there that we need to watch closely. Eastern European markets, which I'd meant to mention in the European context a moment ago, remain mostly quite strong. Commodity producing stock markets remain quite strong from Australia really to South America, through South America. Now, in long-dated government bonds, as you know, they had taken a battering, and last month and earlier this month, and then we were seeing something of a dead cat short covering bounce. The bounce was best in the U.S. bonds, followed by the JGBs, and both are up yesterday, whereas the Australian long-dated government bond prices, I'm talking about, of course, are on their lows, as are the European bonds, the Eurobonds and the gilts. So that sector remains generally soft, albeit somewhat overstretched. And that's important in terms of what it does from here on. So more on that in a moment. In currencies, now the dollar has been coming down against everything except the yen, and the dollar got hit yesterday, again, except against the yen. So it means that you have, as I've been saying for a long time now, you've got two currencies that are really weak. The yen is weakest of all, and then you have the US dollar. Now, just about every currency broke upwards against the yen again yesterday. It'll be interesting to see how controversial this becomes, because we have been getting increasing murmurings regarding the yen. Now, my view is, well, now I'll come back to my view on that. This is the review. The dollar, I mentioned, I think that it had peaked last week. It looked like it had peaked. It had a steadier day on Thursday, which raised some questions, but it got hit hard yesterday with the U.S. dollar index closing at 82.336. That was down 395 ticks. Now remember, it was a point higher just over a week ago. So that has certainly given up some ground in here. And crude oil prices really firm. Now they're not running away, but it's just been consolidation, consolidation, then breakout, ranging higher overall. And so energy prices are becoming a concern, and that's important. More on that later. You had the crude NYMEX close out at 69.14, and the Brent's over $2 higher. So we're right back up in that 70 region, and the pattern remains bullish. Now, precious metals remain out of favor. Well, I'd be a little bit careful there. The steadiest one of all is the palladium, interestingly. And now it's not running, it hasn't broken out, but it's firm within a trading range. Platinum is the next steadiest, and that was up $9 yesterday, closing at 1308 on the July contract. Gold is softer, but performed, didn't do anywhere near as much as it might have had the crowd been in a bullish mood regarding precious metals, because it only closed up 230. That's gold at 654.30. Now, when the crowd's bullish, of course, you'd get a $10 move or more, given the weakness that we saw from the U.S. dollar yesterday. And silver lagging further behind. That was the one that actually closed down yesterday. It had been higher. It had been at 1332 on the July, but then it was the one that seemed to be affected by most by Wall Street, and closing down at 1315. And in the agricultural, oh no, let me take the industrial metals first. Nickel is still searching for a low. It was up on Friday, but it has had a soft week. Still searching for that low during its predictable medium-term correction. Aluminium has been drifting a bit lower. Lead's been hitting new highs, tin's been ranging, and zinc mostly ranging as well. But lead remains the strongest, and nickel has been the weakest recently. Okay, in the agricultural commodities, the bullish-looking commodities, cocoa looks like it's completing a first step above the base formation. And it's still within that step, but it's a favorable pattern. It looks to me like it's going to break out on the upside. And sugar has showing signs that it's bottomed in here. Grains gave up some ground here this week on some better weather forecasts in the U.S. Meat prices are lower. This is potentially important. And looks like cotton has completed a base. Looks like the cocoa chart of a few months ago. And okay, so let's go back to the stock markets now and say what's going on here in terms of the short to medium to longer term. Well, in the short term, we remain susceptible to these further reactions and consolidations and reversion towards the mean represented by the 200-day moving averages. That would be healthy action overall. But there are warning signs here, and I touch on them again just very briefly. The financials, often a leading indicator, are underperforming. Now, not in Asia, significantly, very significantly, not in Asia. But they are underperforming in Europe, and they are underperforming in North America. They're not really slightly lagging in Australia, slightly lagging in some other commodity producing countries. So it's really the European banks and the North American banks that are giving these negative indications. And the utilities index in the US, a leading indicator that peaked last month, and that it tends to lead by quite a bit. It can lead by 6-8 months, but that has to be a concern in here. And in terms of other actions, I just got my mobile ringing, and I'm going to turn it off. Sorry about that break. In terms of action here generally, the Asian markets, which are a theme that I have liked so much, they haven't always performed the best, as inevitably they would not always perform the best, but I felt that they had the lower risk overall, and I still maintain that view. Eastern Europe remains remarkably strong. Overall, the commodity producers remain remarkably strong. Commodity producers also have the firmer currencies. Asia generally has the firmer currencies overall. So as a long-term investment theme, you see, I really don't see any reason why I should shift away from my favorites. Asian emerging markets, best of all, in terms of my favorites at the top of the list, very close behind, or sometimes co-equal, and pretty much co-equal, I should say, resources markets. And these are, of course, connected because Asia is leading the global infrastructure development, which remains very, very strong, and therefore these resources exporting countries, some of which are Asian, pipe right into that Asian growth theme. And the global infrastructure story is much more than just Asia, but Asia is the biggest in terms of growth and population. So these are very, very powerful secular themes, and I feel very comfortable keeping my portfolio almost entirely in those two areas. Now, Africa, which is of interest, more speculative, inevitably, but that pipes right into the resources theme. It's, Africa really is only resources. A little bit more from South Africa, but it's primarily all resources, as you know. And the Eastern European markets, well, I think that something I've said, not haven't said it in a while, but have over the years, is that they really represent developed Europe's China in terms of a lower cost labor force, highly educated lower cost labor force, obviously much smaller population than what you see in China, but that's a good story. And I think it will run for a while longer. But the risks here in terms of stock markets in the short to medium term, such as they are, and they have increased, the risks are really coming from the the bank shares, the financial shares, which are underperforming, the utility shares, which are now underperforming, the bond yields, which have certainly pushed up, and some overextensions on the indices overall. So that certainly is a recipe for a ranging reaction at minimum. And if you get either the bond yields running upwards again, or if we were to see resources plays moving too strongly, that could trigger an overall correction, because among all those headwind factors, we have crude oil coming back onto the stage. Now, what's moving into the wings, though, temporarily, I think would be those grain prices. We do not have inflationary pressures in meat prices, at least in the US. That's been a problem in China, but I think a temporary one with the pork prices. But meat prices in the United States are relatively soft. And as I say, that improved weather that I mentioned before has checked what were some pretty strong runs in the gain. So there's a bit of respite there. Also, the long-dated government bonds are oversold in the short term. That doesn't mean they have to rally much, and I certainly am not interested in buying them. But again, there isn't a fundamental reason, in my view, as to why the long-dated bond yields should push sharply higher in the short term. But markets can do things without a fundamental reason. It is a bear market in long-dated government bonds, I've been saying for several years. Therefore, most of the surprises will be on the upside in terms of yields. So there are plenty of risks out there. Are those risks and those lead indicators enough to trigger a bear market? No, in my view. It does not pay. I would not want to be too aggressive here on the upside in these stock markets. But I haven't taken anything off the table in terms of my investment positions, and I've actually put some back on in terms of my speculative stock market plays. Government bonds have pretty well covered that overall. In terms of currencies, I mentioned 2 week currencies. The Japanese yen, it's a story that I've discussed so many times. You have the Andaka situation in terms of the big fundamental background. That's the Japanese word, of course, for a strong yen, living with a strong yen. I've said so many times that there's a whole generation of Japanese politicians and money policy or monetary policy advisors that we're so scarred by that Andaka experience and the sort of what's referred to as the lost decade following Japan's burst bubble and strong yen-related problems that they're determined never to see that happen again. Now, Japanese interest rates will move up over time, but really the spread between Japanese interest rates and the interest rates for just about all other currencies have widened in recent months, and there's plenty of money supply sloshing around in yen terms as well. So really, if you go back to the interest rates and say that they are perhaps the one hard currency fundamental going, and this has continued to make shorting the yen a fairly smart move, a very smart move, I should say. Now, when's this going to change? And again, I've said that it won't change until the Japanese feel it is no longer in their interests to see the yen so weak. For a long time, it has suited them because, of course, it's about the only country that hasn't been suffering from some inflation pressures. And also, they wanted to make absolutely certain that growth was on a sustainable upward trajectory. And those problems have not, or those concerns, rather, I should say, because the Japanese economy is growing at a reasonable rate, and the deflation has halted. But again, the conservative Japanese are not feeling sufficiently confident to allow interest rates to go marching higher, as we've seen in a number of other countries. So that makes the yen attractive and on these carry trade plays. And the Japanese stock market has not been performing sufficiently well over the last number of months to lure a lot of that money back from overseas investors. So what's going to change? Well, Japan could decide that it wanted to drain some liquidity out of the system, but that would be dangerous in terms of the overall economy. Political pressure could change. Things will change at some point, and I think we'd really need to be a fly on the wall in the BOJ and a Japanese cabinet meetings to see when they're going to change significantly. Now, hopefully, they will telegraph that in advance, rather than spring surprises on the market. But you never know with politicians and monetary officials. But meanwhile, I would say that the yen remains pretty much a one-way bet. Of course, it gets overextended from time to time, and then you get a reaction and correction, and it's arguably becoming a little bit overextended. But buying almost any currency against the yen following a reaction, following, in other words, a technical rally by the yen, has been extremely profitable for carry trade people, and I don't see that ending anytime soon. That is extremely bullish for the operating earnings of Japanese exporters and multinational companies, as those earnings are consolidated in yen. The US dollar, the yen remains fundamentally weak. It has been cushioned on the downside by interest rates and by the large positions that the Japanese and particularly the Chinese hold in US dollars. But the US really does need a softer currency over time, and that's basically the trend that we have. So I look for a dollar that more often than not ranges sideways to somewhat lower. Now, there's a resources currency that would do wonders for its economy if it were to weaken a bit further, and that's the rand. And looking at the long-term charts, I suspect that the rand will weaken at some point. But of course, the South African economy's important role as an exporter of commodities is helping to prop it up. But suffice it to say that the rand is way underperforming other commodity exporting countries such as Brazil, Mexico, not to mention Australia and New Zealand. Now, those resources currencies, to take the rand partially accepted, are going to continue to outperform overall. And previously, in previous decades, resources currencies could not stay strong for very long, because the resources exporting countries did not have the scope for proficiency increases that you would have, for instance, in a manufacturing-based economy. So why is it different this time? And it is different this time, and the difference is the commodity supercycle, in that the demand for these resources is so strong that they can still get a great price for their resources, despite appreciating currencies. The other great long-term currency story, it's not a short-term, quickie big gain situation, is the Asian currency story, and that's really quite bullish because of the superior GDP growth rates. Now, looking at the resources markets, same themes apply. Industrial metals, I think that right now I'm thinking of them in terms of staying at comparatively high levels for longer, and that's higher levels than most people have been forecasting for longer. And when I say longer, I'm talking about many years, quite probably a decade or two. And I doubt that we've seen the final highs in any of these industrial resources. So this is an exceptionally bullish sector. I'm not looking for any dramatic appreciation from the metals over the short term right now, although in a secular bull market, most of the because they've just say because they've done so well over the last year, and we have this nickel predictable correction. But again, I will add that in a secular bull market, the surprises are generally on the upside. Now, and if I take crude oil, again, OPEC helped to peg back the supply of crude somewhat, and then there's the Nigerian situation percolating away, and then Iraq is not able to produce anywhere near as much oil as it would be capable of without the tragic situation that continues to unwind in that country. So that's keeping supply just thin enough to keep these prices firm. And the technical action, well, again, it's a secular bull market, not as strong as the industrial metals, but very powerful and overall, and likely to, more importantly, likely to last for a very long time. So that will remain a bull theme overall, and investments in that area are certainly warranted, particularly in some of the oil equipment suppliers. It's a tricky area because big oil Western companies are losing resources for political reasons, as you know. And looking at precious metals, I think precious metals are very cheap, but remember, in markets, it's an international beauty contest. They're underperforming. So if they're underperforming right now, as they are, people will say, well, okay, why should I go in there when other things are going on? Now, that can change and will change, I think, very rapidly at some point. That will be the predictable surprise in inverted commas. I can't say when that will actually occur, but watch platinum. It's led so often in the past, and it's fairly firm in here. It may well be the leader, or along with palladium. I suspect they will. Or watch for a strong upward dynamic in gold and silver. Those will be the signals. But I regard them as cheap at current levels. I regard them as being in an accumulation zone. I've already said that they are underperforming. Here, so if someone wants to wait for the dynamics on the upside, that would be a certainly very justifiable tactic, particularly with futures markets where you have the contangos. I'm feeling that they're in a buying range. I'm happy to have long positions, although I'm not overweight in precious metals relative to the size. Well, my trading account perhaps is, but not relative to the size that I've had in the past. And I noticed that the gold shares index is a bit firmer. That's not a good story as the industrial shares index, clearly, and the valuations aren't as attractive as in the industrial metal shares. But the gold shares look have the type of pattern, the gold share index, that is, HUIXAU, they have the types of patterns that should support good gains over the medium term. So my feeling is that so many people have been disappointed with precious metals recently. They've been drifting away from silver and gold ETFs somewhat. Watch for this to be resolved with a dramatic improvement, but I can't say when, but as I've already said, the platinum and palladium will probably signal it. Among the foods, there are opportunities here. I think the grains are off the boil for a while following the recent gains in the improved weather. Coffee looks capable of another run. Cocoa looks even better, potentially. Sugar, weak fundamentals, but the chart's beginning to improve. Fundamentals are usually bearish in the at the bottom of the market. They represent what's happened, not what's going to happen. The cotton market is certainly interesting. I think it needs some consolidation, a first step above the base type of action we would need to see. And I think that's pretty much it. And I should show just one thing on currencies that I had forgotten to mention. A petro currency, the Norwegian crown, that's pushed to a new high against the US dollar. Again, that just underpins the strength of this whole energy resources sector. Okay, folks, that's it on the long-term outlook. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be back on Monday. Meanwhile, all the very best.